Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Better. But turn your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to three different portions of Scripture today as we continue our This Is Us series, in which we're actually talking about the church, not Canvas Church necessarily specifically, although we're bringing in some of our core values and things that we just adhere to at Canvas Church and maybe set us apart, but really looking at the church that's in Scripture and what the church is supposed to be doing, what the church looks like, and the value of being in the church. And so we're going to go to these different Scriptures. As we're turning there, though, I want to just set up here the platform for this, in that when you look at the church in Scripture, the word that's used predominantly is the word ecclesia, and it's the biblical term for church, and this is what it means. It means that a called out group of people. A called out group of people. Notice it doesn't say it's an organization. It doesn't say it's a synagogue. It doesn't say it's a temple. It doesn't say it's a building. Every time the Bible talks about the church, it's talking about people. Okay? So we can be the church under a tree in some third world country. Are you with me? We can be the church in a home. We can be the church in a coffee shop. We can be the church as we come together. The key, though, is it's a called out group of people. It's impossible for you to be the church by yourself. Right? That's why the Bible even says where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. And when he shows up, how many know, come on, church is happening. Amen? And so our definition here at Canvas that we've been working off of for the church is simply this. It's imperfect people who have gathered together to seek a God who loves them in their imperfection. It's imperfect people. That's us coming together. That's the gathering, the called out group of people coming together, come on, to seek a God who will love them in their imperfection. How many of you guys are thankful that God loves us even when we're unlovable? Come on. How many of you guys are thankful that God, you know, the Bible says, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How many of you guys are thankful that you don't have to live a perfect life to get the attention of God? Come on. We are God's children and he loves us in our imperfections as we seek out, man, him. And so we want to jump into this today. Psalm 122, going to go there, going to go to Psalm 92, and then we're going to find ourselves in Acts chapter 2. Now, these verses will be on the screen for you. They're also in the app if you like taking notes in the app. Some people brought it to our attention that they like the paper version, and so we've been handing those out at the door. If you didn't get one, it's because we actually ran out. And so I guess more people like paper than I thought, all right? And so we'll print a few more for next week. And as we continue to run out, we'll just continue to print more. But in your app, we'll have the verses there. But I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church, whether it's a paper Bible or a digital Bible. Now, it's really nice to have a paper Bible, and here's why. With the digital Bible, it's point and click. We are coming into a generation that might know that Psalms is in the Bible, but have no clue where the book of Psalms is at in the Bible. And that's because the digital age we're in. And so here's the thing. It's nice to know not only that the book is in the Bible, it's nice to know where it's at in the Bible, all right? So I encourage you, bring your Bible to church. If you don't have one, we have some at the info. But we're going to go to Psalm 122 as we start this morning. Psalm 122. And the great psalmist David wrote, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord." Isn't that a great verse? Let me read it again. "I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Let me put it in modern day terms. I was stoked when they said, let's go to church. I was pumped when they said, let's go to church. This is what the great psalmist David is writing. He writes, man, I was so overcome with joy. Man, I was so full of joy. He rejoiced. He was happy when people said, hey, man, let's go to church together. Which makes me want to ask this question, and you don't have to give a show of hands. When was the last time you rolled out of bed on a Sunday morning and said, yeah, I get to go to church today? Don't raise your hand. Hopefully it was this morning, right? But when was the last time, as Saturday's rolling around, you're starting to think, man, Sunday, I cannot wait. It's Sunday morning and you're like, man, it is church time. When's the last time that happened? Because this is what David's saying. David is saying, man, church is the best day of the week. I cannot wait to get there. I am overcome with joy. I'm so ecstatic. I'm so happy. I'm so stoked. I'm so pumped that I get to go to church. Why did he write that? Why did David write this in Scripture? I have to believe that he wrote that because he experienced what it was to thrive, not just survive. He wrote it because he knew that going to church had some intrinsic value to it. He knew that getting amongst other believers brought not only value to his life, but brought joy to his life. Yeah. So much so that 30 chapters earlier, actually, he writes this in Psalm 92. He writes this, he said, "The righteous thrive." Isn't that great? Believers, Christ followers, those that are pursuing God, they thrive. And then he begins to use terms and analogies that made sense to them. Listen to it. They thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. All of us are like, oh, so? Like great. Palm tree, woo! Cedar in Lebanon, have no idea, woo! Right? But you got to understand something. In context, this meant something to them. Yeah. Like he wrote, hey, the righteous, come on, believers, we thrive. Okay, and they're on the edge of their seats. And then he goes, like a palm tree. And they're like, ah! They start freaking out, slapping each other high five. Yeah, I like a palm tree. To us, it's like, yeah, I see them all over. Great, right? And then he waits for a moment because he sees, you know, it's like, okay, that one didn't get you. Like a cedar and Lebanon, mic drop. That was their response. They were like, oh, we thrive? Yeah, like a palm. Oh, my gosh. Like a cedar and Lebanon. Oh, the Holy Spirit just showed up, you know? In their context, it's saying a lot. Are you with me? You thrive. No, but he gives more context to it. Because he uses the cedar and the palm, like, okay, you want to know how you thrive? This is how you thrive. And they're like, but then he says this, but here's where you thrive. That's how you thrive, but here's where you thrive. Verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of our God. Remember our definition of church. Church is not an organization. Church is not a building. Church is a people. So what he's saying is, man, I cannot wait to get to church. Because when I get there, you know what? I thrive. And I thrive planted in the community of believers. Yeah. Thriving. Wow, this is so good. They will bear fruit in old age. I guess we don't have any older people here. Else they'd be all like, amen, right? So everybody, I guess it's just, you know, context. You're only as young as you know. Look at this verse. In old age, they're going to bear fruit. Yeah. Come on, that is awesome. Healthy and green. Why? Verse 15. This is how you're going to thrive. You're going to thrive like a palm and a cedar. This is where you're going to thrive, planted in the house of the Lord, and this is why you're going to thrive. To declare the Lord is just. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. Isn't that good? The psalmist understood. Man, when people said, hey, you wanna go to church? Absolutely. Why? Because that's where you thrive. I'm there, let's go. And he gets there. Why? Because he understood that God's purpose was never for us to survive, it was to thrive. Let's go to the New Testament now, because the New Testament, I believe, gives us more context to this passage. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41. If I'm going to thrive being planted, I need to know and understand what the New Testament church looked like when it was planted. And here in Acts chapter 2, let me just catch us up. Here's what's taking place. The church at the time, about 120 people were gathered together in an upper room waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, said was gonna come for them. And so they gathered together. They're there for some 8 or so days just waiting on the gift of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon them. And all of a sudden the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, boom! They receive power to be witnesses, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, the Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Holy Spirit comes upon him. And there's a guy named Peter, part of the church. And man, he gets filled with the Spirit and with boldness. And he steps out and he begins to preach a message to the masses. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that his message was so great, kind of like Pastor Ben's on a Sunday morning. Praise him. That the people were pierced to the heart. Like they're, and they're like, hey, what do we need to do to have that? What do we need to do to be saved? And so Peter tells them, and guess what? Here's what happens. 3,000 people are at it. Check it out. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. That is amazing. All right, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now understand that. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. The reason Peter's message pierced the people's hearts wasn't because Peter was a magnificent speaker. The reason that the message pierced people's hearts is because the Holy Spirit took the words of Peter and made them applicable to people's lives. And they're like, I need that. Same thing's happening today. Like we don't need to float from place to place looking for the most gifted communicator. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, hey, Holy Spirit, where do you want me planted? Because ultimately, it's not a man's voice that pierces people's hearts. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Thus, already beginning to show us the value of being planted. Pierced to the heart, they respond. 3,000 people added. How do we know they're added? Let's look at it. What did it mean to be added? Let's use the word planted. They thrive if they're planted in the house of the Lord. So here they are, they're added, they're planted. Here's how they knew, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the Bible. What were the apostles teaching? They were teaching scripture. At this time, probably 80% of what they were teaching was the Old Testament. The rest of it was the Gospels, because that's the context that they had. They didn't have all of the other books that we have today. And so as they're teaching, when it talks about teaching the apostles' doctrine, they're teaching the Bible, okay? So we know that they devoted themselves to the word. And it says to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Notice it says to the fellowship. It's to the community that they devote. They devoted themselves to the word, and they devoted themselves to the community. And there's lots of ways that could take place. We'll talk about that. But they devoted themselves to that fellowship, to that community. They were there together doing life with one another. Verse 43, then fear came over everyone and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Wow, what's taking place? What's taking place is these people were added. We know they were added because they gave themselves to the word and they gave themselves to the community. They were now thriving so much in the courts of the Lord or in church. They're thriving so much that God shows up and begins to bless that community and signs and wonders and miracles are being done. Are you with me? It's the church. It's beautiful. Signs and wonders are taking place through the apostles. Verse 44, now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Now Acts chapter 4, I believe it's like verse 31, gives more context to this verse. What they would do is they would literally sell the things they had and they would bring all of the proceeds. And the Bible says in Acts 4 that they would lay it at the feet of the apostles and then the apostles would then take it and distribute it to the ones that were in need to make sure that they got to the place where nobody had need. It's powerful. It's what we're going to do through our Legacy Sunday. We're going to plant a church. Amen? We're gonna find out what needs are represented here. We're gonna help meet those needs, amen? And we're gonna hopefully sponsor at least 2 children through Compassion International. But that was the context. That's why on Sunday morning, some of you are like, what's happening with that bucket thing? And why are they, what's the money? What's going on right there? The principle is this, is that they were generous. Are you with me? They were generous. It's one of the things we'll talk about. They were generous and they gave so that the church could continue to have their needs met, their community, and they could continue to thrive and continue to go on. We'll talk about that. Every day, the Bible says, verse 46, they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread. Do you notice how often they are together? They're together a lot. They're having meals together. Then they're praying for one another. They're studying the word together. Man, they're being generous with their finances together. Look at this though, but they're happy about it. Look at it. They ate their food with joyful and a humble attitude. Some of you are like, I couldn't hang out with those people that much. I couldn't do that. They actually liked it. Why? They're thriving in church, in community with one another. Had a humble attitude. Listen, praising God and having favor. I love this part. Who'd they have favor? Favor with all people, not just the church. See, the church begins to have favor with the community. The church begins to have favor with those in the community when the church is thriving. When the church is together, working, thriving, they have favor with all people. And every day, the Lord added to them those who were being saved. I want to talk to you for the next few moments about not surviving, but thriving. God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us. God, I pray you'd help me articulate, God, what I believe you've placed on my heart for this incredible community. And Lord, as I articulate it, Lord, I pray that you would just help me create a space where people can encounter your son, Jesus, know your incredible love, and begin to understand the amazing plan that you have for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. For those of you that haven't been coming to the campus very long, maybe it's your first day, you won't know this, but I have two beautiful daughters that go to an amazing high school. One of my daughters plays sports. She just got done with her volleyball season, and now she's heading into basketball season. And at the beginning of every season, if it's a fall sport, they'll have a fall sport meeting for parents and for athletes, and they'll walk through all of the criteria for that athlete, but not just the athlete, the criteria for the parents. Are you with me? Parents that have kids, you know what I'm talking about. The majority of the time, it's not the kids' issue, it's the parents' issue. Yeah. As you're coaching them from the stands, come on, somebody. As you're yelling at the other kids from the other team. Okay, I guess I'm the only parent that does that. All right. And so they have these meetings to get everybody on the same page. And what we learned about this particular school in their program, they're saying is this, play as one. And so they're talking about a team. They're talking about the unity of the team. And they actually have this website called playasone.org. And you can go there and see all the sports and the schedule and all this stuff. And so my wife went to the meeting for the winter sport coming up, basketball. And as she was there and she brought home the little thing and she handed it to me like she does at every sport. She's like, you need to read that. Read the parent section. I'm like, whatever, Scarecrow. And so I'm reading through it, and as I'm reading through it, I'm so quickly reminded about the value of being on a team. About the value of truly, it says play as one, the value, and I read this thing and it says that your student will not be allowed to start and potentially play in the game if they're not at the practice the day before the game. And I started looking at that and I understand why. Because they have this philosophy that we are better together. We play as one. We're in this thing together. If you just show up on game day, that ain't gonna work. You need to show up and you need to be in the trenches and you need to begin together and you need to be developing together and the plays together and being there and building strength and commonality and camaraderie with one another. If you're not doing that, guess what? You can't start and you might not be able to play. I believe that's what David, the psalmist, understood about the church. That David understood that it is impossible for me to be the church by myself. It's impossible for me to thrive solo in this spiritual journey. The only way I'm gonna thrive, that's why he was so excited when people said, hey, David, you wanna go to church? Absolutely, I wanna go to church. Because I understand that when you say church, you're not talking about a place, you're talking about a people. And I understand when I'm around those people and I'm planted with those people, I thrive. I thrive where? Planted in the community. That's where I thrive. How do I thrive? Man, I thrive like, man, this is how I thrive like a palm tree. Hello. That's how I thrive. The palm tree, they understood it to be one of the most beautiful trees. So much so that the palm trees, they would actually line many times inside of temples or synagogues with palm trees. Not just places of worship, though, that they would take these palm trees, and if it was a person that had a substantial amount of money, they would have palms around their place that signify, oh, that dude's got money. Palms were significant, not only for what they represented, but for what they did. Their big palm branches spread out, and they would create shade for people, a place of rest, a place of refreshing. A place where I could get out of the sun and the heat that's beating down upon me, and I could just be there and I could just get a little R&R. So when they talked about the palm tree, they understood, oh, that's what the palm tree represented. It was said that the palm tree had over 360 uses. Wow. Think about that. Wow. In other words, you're gonna thrive like a palm tree. You're gonna be valuable to everybody in every season of life. Wow. Not only that, guess what? When you get older, you know when a lot of things get older, they begin to lose their value and they don't, guess what? No. The palm tree, it bears fruit as long as it's alive on the earth. In other words, you're gonna bear fruit like the palm tree in your old age. Until the day you leave this earth, you are gonna be fruitful and you are gonna have value. That's how you're gonna thrive. But understand, that's only gonna happen if you're planted in the community. But it doesn't stop there. Palm tree, one tree wasn't enough. We're gonna give you two. Because some of you aren't getting it with the palm tree. You're gonna thrive like a cedar in Lebanon. Cedar of Lebanon? Yeah. What was so valuable about the cedar of Lebanon? The wood is known to be so hard that insects couldn't penetrate it. So they found that out, and what they would use is they would use it to build all of their structures. That's you. You're gonna be involved in every area of culture. Cedar. Not only that, the cedar of Lebanon was known to get at least 120 feet tall. Crazy. The cool part about it is this, as they said, as tall as it was to the visible eye is how deep the roots went into the ground. So if the tree was 80 feet tall, the roots were 80 feet down. If the tree was 120 feet tall, man, that means the roots went 120 feet down. In other words, you're gonna thrive like that, and to the measure in which you allow yourself to be planted is the measure in which you will begin to grow. And so we see the value of our roots being planted, not only deep, but in the soil in which they're planted in. And he says, here's your soil. Your soil is the church. Your soil is the community of believers. And if you would allow yourself to be planted in the presence of God, in the truth of his word, and in the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, and you would allow your roots to go deep down in there, you will thrive like that cedar of Lebanon. This is what it looks like to thrive. This is where you're going to thrive. And notice, your thriving has a purpose. To continue to share the love of Jesus with others so that people could be added daily. Here's the problem. For church today, too many of us are not planted. We're just attending. We're attending. Notice it doesn't say, hey, you'll thrive if you attend. No, it says you'll thrive if you are planted. 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 And I want to ask you this question today. Are you surviving or are you thriving? If you are not thriving in your spiritual walk, if you are not thriving in relationships, if you are not thriving in the presence of God, if you're not thriving financially, if you're not thriving in your job, if you're not, maybe it's not the job. Maybe it's not the people. Maybe you're not planted. And therefore, the soil that is around you, I was unable to cut down a cedar of Lebanon. And I figured trying to bring a palm tree in here would prove itself difficult. So I brought you these. Aren't they cute? It says flowers and garden. They're neither of which exist in this, but there's no flowers, and I haven't tasted these yet to see if they're edible. And I know you're looking at it and you're like, Pastor, those are some pathetic looking plants. One's bigger than the other, and one of them's got brown on it, and that thing right there, that's beat up. I know it looks like the church, doesn't it? A little bit messy. But if I was to, and notice how they're planted together, we'll get there. But if I was to take this little plant here, this little guy here, and I was to take him out of its pot that it's planted in, and I was to remove all of the soil from the roots, and I was to leave it like that, what's gonna happen to it? It's gonna die, right? If I was to one day a week just one day a week, stick the roots in that soil, but then for the other 6 days, rip it out of the soil, what's gonna happen to the plant? Probably gonna die. It might survive, which, let's be honest, if we're not thriving, surviving is better than dying. Yes. Right? At least I think so. So we're like, oh. See, we wouldn't do it to this plant, because if we did, probably not gonna be real healthy. But yet for some reason with our own life and our own spiritual existence, we feel like getting in the soil one day a week that we're gonna thrive. It's getting quiet in here now. Pastor, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy I am. You don't know what's going on. You're right, I don't, okay? So we'll just take it through your context, but listen to me. If I was to, because here's the reality, here's what you need to understand. The reality is we're not ripping our roots up out of this soil and it's just dangling. And then next Sunday, we're putting it back in the soil. What's happening is there's a lot of soil out there and you are planted in something every day. And what happens is Sunday, oh yeah, I'm at church, woo! And then on Monday, I'm not ripping my roots out, I'm planted somewhere. My question is, are you still planted in the community? That's my question. Because you're planting in something. Listen to me, we plant ourselves in relationships. We plant ourselves in careers. We plant ourselves in neighborhoods. We plant ourselves in blogs. We plant ourselves in studies. We plant ourselves, whatever it is, we're planted in something. The question I have is if you're not thriving, maybe it's because you're going from soil to soil to soil. And the reality is if I took the roots and I put it in different soil every day of the week, it's eventually gonna shock it and it's gonna kill it. And the reason some of you are not thriving in life and you're not feeling the joy that the psalmist wrote about and you're not excited about Sunday morning, you're not like, yeah, I can't wait to get around my people, is because you're going from soil to soil to soil to soil to soil to soil. But he says, no, you gotta be planted. Not planted in a building, planted in a community. Planted. Listen to me, let me put it this way. If this is where you church, but this isn't where you friend, you're gonna have a problem. If this is where you church, oh man, church is great, I love the worship, I love the pastor, he's awesome, and he always preaches, he's kind of funny sometimes. But then the rest of the week, you have no relationship with anything in this community, or anybody in this community, you will find yourself not thriving. Because when situations arise in your life, who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters. I mean, when there's something strange in your neighborhood, right? Sister, who are you gonna call? And so this would be my encouragement to you. And I said it in the first service, and there's just a... This would be my encouragement to you. If this is where you attend on Sunday morning, because here's the thing, here's what happens. I got really real last week. If you missed the message, you can podcast. It was awesome. I was told it was awesome. I watched it and I enjoyed it too, but. I'll talk to people sometimes like, oh, Pastor, I don't know. I just don't have any friends at church. I'm like, what? Well, then you're not actually in church. But what do you mean, don't have any friends? I mean, I just can't relate with anybody. I don't have any friends. Well, let me ask you a question. How often do you show up on a Sunday morning? I mean, you know, twice a month, maybe. Okay, well, what small group are you a part of? Small what? A group that's small, that meets together, that's from the church? I don't have one of those. Oh, are you a part of serving? Yeah, the two Sundays I show up, I serve. Do you attend a service sometimes? And then we wonder why we don't have any relationships inside the church. Okay? Here would be my encouragement to you. Because there are lots of great churches, and I'm sure you have lots of great friends in your life. Hopefully. If you don't, there's a lot right here. Make one today. But here's what I want to tell you. If this is where you come on Sunday, But outside of Sunday, you have no connection. And it doesn't have to be a small group. I know life is busy and I know things are happening. I know sometimes, oh man, I really would love to go to that group, but they meet this night and I work that night, or something else is happening. I know what it is. I have two teenage daughters. I know what it is to have a busy schedule. I get it. And so it's not even about a small group in 10, but where's your group? Where's your friends? Where do you connect with? Because that is your soil. And if you are not, if this is where you church, but you friend somewhere else, find out where your friends go to church and go to church with them. And if you're like, I don't have any friends, then make some friends here. But listen to me. There is so much value in being planted. You will begin to thrive. You need to church where you friend and friend where you church. That's a thing. And I'm telling you, you begin to do that. And now listen to me. I'm not saying you can't have friends outside of church. Let's not take what the pastor said and be like, oh, he just told me. I am totally friendless now. Because no, I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about when something is happening in your life and you were just in worship together. And man, we just had a Holy Spirit moment. And man, we were learning the Bible together. Do you have people in your community that you can call and say, hey, I'm going through a rough time. Hey, I'm dealing with some stuff right now. Because that's what it is to be planted. Right. No, you know, there's this idea of, what do they call it? Companion planting, I think it is the term. That if you've ever gardened before, if you've ever planted stuff before, that typically something will thrive better when it's planted next to something else because of what it does to the soil. Man, there is something so valuable about that when it comes to church. That's why you need to friend where you church and church where you friend, because I'm telling you, you will begin. And that's what David's talking about. When he says, hey, your life, you're gonna be blessed. You're gonna thrive when you're planted in community. You with me this morning? What time is it? Do I need to be done? I don't have a clock on here. This clock ain't working, so I can go all day. Oh man, it's 11:44. I need to end. Oh, how many of you guys want me to end? See, some guy, I can't raise my hand. Nobody raised their hand. My wife just did. Not with you dressed like that. She tried to play it off like she dressed. She's been wanting to do this. I want this whole new look, babe. I think I'm going to try it on. I think I'll try it that one weekend and see what people think. Can I just give you one point and we'll finish? I know there's four of them there, and we'll finish up the message next week. Let me just give you this one. The New Testament then comes along in the church and says, here's what it means. Here's what it means to be added. Here's what it means to be planted. Number one, they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. What is that? That's be in the word. Number one, be in the word. But notice it's not be in the word by yourself. They were in the word together. Now listen, that doesn't negate the fact that you should, yes, be in the word daily and you should have a devotional. Man, that is great. But the context here in Acts chapter 2 is they gave themselves together to the apostles' teaching. And it wasn't just a Sunday morning thing. It was daily. It was house to house. It was, I had somebody I could call up. Listen, they didn't have phones and they didn't have text messages. They didn't have social media. If they did, they would have used it. So let's put it in our context. You don't have to always get to a small group. You don't always have to get to somebody else's house. You could text them, you could phone call them, you could message them on social media. Who are you connecting with about the message that is happening in your church? That's what he's talking about. They gave themselves together, not independently, but together. They gave themselves to what was being taught. And there's so much value to that because that's where we can hold each other accountable, not only to the word, but how we walk out the word. Because the end of it all is not just to have a message that you heard and pastor made me laugh and that was a really good message that had some meat to it. That was awesome. The reason the community is so important is how are you now taking that and applying it to your life? How are you interacting with your children? Right. How are you treating your spouse? Are you a good employee or employer? They held themselves accountable to that. And I know that in the era I grew up, there was always this thought that all I need is me, Jesus, and my Bible. I'm just gonna be straight up with you. You, Jesus, and your Bible oftentimes equals weird. There's been a lot of false doctrines, a lot of false teaching, and a lot of churches that ain't of God that have been started because of me, Jesus, and my Bible. Mm-hmm. Right. Are you with me? If you don't want to be a weird Christian, get planted. And listen, if you can't do it, you can't do it in a small group because life's busy. I get it. But who are you building relationship with here that you can call up on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday and say, hey, look, pastor said this. I don't fully get it. I said some things last week that probably some people needed to get together in a group and flesh out. And listen to me. It's not just that it keeps you on track. It's not just that it keeps you from being weird. It's that oftentimes we are doing our best and sometimes we just don't understand the full context. Right. I mean, I'm going to thrive like a palm. I don't get it. Like a cedar of Lebanon. Never seen one. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so even in that, what happens is we could be doing our best and our best is really good. And our best to understand. But you know what? When you're in a context of a community planted, people can come along and say, hey, that's good, but this is even better. It actually is in the Bible. Let me just give it to you and I'll end here. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 26, there's a guy named Apollos. And let me just read what it says about Apollos as we come to an end. It says, a Jew named Apollos, a native Alexandrian, an eloquent man who was powerful in the use of scriptures. Look what it's saying about him. He's eloquent. He understands scripture. He knows how to use scripture. Arrived in Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught the things about Jesus. Listen to it now. Accurately. Wow. Okay, he's got it down. He's teaching it accurately. Listen now, although he knew only John's baptism. What's John's baptism? The Bible oftentimes references John's baptism. John's baptism was one of water baptism. Okay, so when we see water baptism in scripture, whenever every time the Bible says John's, it's talking about that water baptism. But there's another baptism. And according to scripture, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was accompanied by tongues, different languages. And the boldness to preach the gospel, right? So he didn't know about that. He just knew about John's baptism, according to scripture. Listen to it now. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. After Priscilla and Aquila, this is a great couple in scripture. You don't hear a lot about them. But here's this couple in scripture that heard Apollos preaching. They heard him and they took him home. What were they doing? They're having fellowship, having a meal together, right? Because that's what the church does. In community, took him home, listen now, and explained the way of God to him more accurately. Wait, this guy was preaching the message with accuracy. But see, when you're a part of a community, come on, as iron sharpens iron, we begin to hold each other accountable. We begin to build one another up. We begin to encourage one another. We begin to instruct people in the way more accurately as we give ourselves together to the teaching of the word. And as we begin to do that, we'll begin to move from survival to thriving. Because God's best for your life is not that you survive, but it's that you thrive. God, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that your word is awesome. Go ahead, church, just stand to your feet. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, there's blanks. What's happening? We'll get to it next week. But I want to encourage you today, as your pastor, to ask yourself this question. Are you planted? Are you thriving? When was the last time you said, I can't wait to go hang out with my church? God, we love you for the context of scripture. We love you and thank you for it today. And God, I pray, Lord, that we walk out of this place, God, asking those questions, not beating ourselves up over it, but asking ourselves those questions. And then making the appropriate steps to get planted so that we could thrive like a palm tree, so that we could thrive like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in my community. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming to camp.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.